I got it on. Okay, we're on. We're on the air now, people. Blessed adoption. It's a subject that is not overly presented. Maybe some of you have never really heard much about it from the biblical viewpoint. I'm sure you know about adoption from the standard of our culture. What a blessing it is. So I want us to continue that on Wednesday, the Lord willing. Then if you happen to see Rachel Moser Patterson on Friday or somewhere in that area, wish her a happy birthday. She's my first granddaughter, and she used to come here regularly, and so I give that to you. You will continue, won't you, to pray for those who are in need physically. We think of Peggy Kotz. You'll pray for her, won't you, and that she might be restored through this time of recuperation and help. And then we have Sylvester Waltz and Kathleen, and nice to see Mary Jane this morning. Pray for you and your condition. I have in the back put some brand new, real brand new yellow phone directories. So those of us down this way may want a more complete phone directory that way, up around Williamsport and Matoursville and Loyalsock in that area. Our little green one does cover pretty much. But there may be an area even on out towards Jersey Shore and Lock Haven. They're yellow and they're fresh. Therefore, this new year now and 2011. So I bring that to your attention. Let us now enter into worship. And I've tried to select some hymns concerning that God is our Father through faith in Christ, and that we're a child of the King. But let's sing about the Father, number 42, Round the Lord in Glory Seated. turn back to hymn number 36. Now unto Jehovah, ye sons of the mighty. Number 36. Stand, please, as I read the Word of God and have us to pray the Lord's Prayer. Paul, the Apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be thou God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. This is the word of God. Will you join me in praying the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please be seated. I have had us pray the Lord's Prayer because I want to talk about God, our Father, who has adopted those who have trusted Jesus Christ. Now, I think we can do that in another way, which is beautiful. Will you join with me again, prayerfully singing the Lord's Prayer? I want us to consider our Father, which art in heaven. The Lord's Prayer in front of the hymnal, you'll see the Lord's Prayer. Let us sing it, please. We'll spend some time in singing a hymn that goes along with the message after we study this matter of a blessed adoption. Adoption. Well, we know something about it. Yes. Do you know about biblical adoption? Well, it's the same, isn't it? No, it's not the same. In the New Testament, five times, we find the word adoption. I'm looking at this morning at Ephesians chapter 1, where it's found. And by the way, the Old Testament did have adoption too. Remember Pharaoh's daughter who took Moses and adopted him as her own son? Pharaoh's daughter. Remember Esther? Well, it was Mordecai who adopted her. I believe he was an uncle. Found these two about Pharaoh's daughter in Exodus chapter 2. And as far as Esther and Mordecai, Esther chapter 2 also. Now, Paul is starting now, and he says, I want you to praise the Lord. I have something that really, it's exciting. Well, Lord, we need to be excited this morning. I want to be, he said, exciting is the fact that there's a vast number of sinners. He said, a vast number of sinners. What about them? He said, God has chosen them and adopted them into God's family. All of them? No, didn't say that. You mean not everybody's gone to heaven? Sorry. But a lot of misunderstandings about adoption, as far as biblically speaking. Some people believe that we're all God's children. Well, God is the creator of us all. We know that, don't we? But as far as the fact of that we've been ruined by our father, but the fall of our father, Adam, has pretty well depleted the image of God in us. I'm ashamed to even say that. But not everybody's made in the image of God. And so we're sinners by nature and by choice. By nature. Oh, yes. If you heard the last two sermons on this acronym faith, you'd say, well, I was pretty well, how horrible sinners are. Can you find something else to preach on besides how bad we are? Oh, yeah. Here's a beautiful one. Don't you come and say it doesn't sound good, because this is just gorgeous as far as God's blessing to us. And we had to study that the last two times, how that by nature we're sinners, and you better believe it, we're capable of immense sins. You say, well, how could a person, how in the world could they do such horrible things? It's because their nature, their fallen nature. Just be glad that you haven't got to the place of being an Adolf Hitler or somebody like that. Friends, we don't know ourselves. And so I'm saying we need to see what we can learn from this passage, especially verses 5 and 6 of Ephesians 1. Well, what's it say? It says that God, having predestinated us. Now, there's that word, predestinated. Why are you talking about the acronym of faith and what sovereign grace means? Because I believe some of us need to hear it again. What is sovereign grace? We call ourselves Sovereign Grace Baptist Church, but could you tell people what sovereign grace means? Could you? Well, listen up, because I'm trying to show you by the acronym of faith what it's all about. F has to do with our fallen nature. This morning, A-F-A-I-T-H, A has to do with our adopted by God. We're in God's family. And then, of course, I, that intentional atonement. And T, transformed by the Holy Spirit of God. And H, having held or being held by God. Everlastingly held by God. You say, well, is this what you folk believe? Yes. Let's go at it and study it some more. Because we are all different and come from different backgrounds. So, God having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Christ Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Yeah, well, that's good. Let's see God's plan here in verse 5. God, you have a plan. Yes, sir. He said, my plan was this. That before the creation of the world, where do you find that? Verse 4. What about that? Verse 4? That's a precious verse, isn't it? According as he has chosen, there is a vast number of sinners that God has chosen and adopted. He said, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Wow, that is something. Before the creation of the world, he has chosen a vast group of sinners and made them his own children. That is something. It's God's plan, not yours, not mine. By nature, we wouldn't have anything to do with God by nature. That's just the way we're built. Just leave me alone if there is a God. I want to do my thing. It's me, mine, who I am. Leave me alone. In fact, the matter is, the Bible says we are at our lost conditions, enemies of God. What is an enemy? An enemy of God. Are there people out there that God and they are enemies? That's what the Bible says. Well, that's pretty bad. I thought we were a pretty bunch of good people around town. It may be that we think that. You know, just because we have some people that are nice, brilliant, professional, experts, and talented, That's not going to cut it, friends. In fact, the matter is, if they go on in their professional, brilliant, intelligent way and ignore God, they're also going to go to hell. I didn't say that. The Bible says that. Because if you don't know Jesus Christ savingly, that's where we're going. And that's where they're going. No, if we trusted Christ, we're saved, and we want to emphasize that indeed. So it's not based upon who you are or who I am and what we have done or our values. Hey, I'm a valuable guy, and I have distinctives. Well, who cares? What you really need to care about is that you're adopted into God's family for eternity, forever and ever. You say, well, come on. Yes, come on. We have a spirit, and we have a soul, and we have a body. And these three items that you and I care about, they need to be attended to. The priority is the spiritual part of us. And so we need to understand that God has for us something that's unchangeable. Unchangeable. I love that. What do you mean? That once you have been adopted into God's family, it's firm and it's unchangeable. I don't know whether you like to think about changeableness or you like to talk about firmness. There's some people would like to always think, well, maybe we might lose our salvation. Maybe we won't go to heaven and have doubts. Dear people, the Word of God speaks about a firmness, a faith that has a blessed assurance that Jesus is mine and is a foretaste of glory divine. There's a blessedness in knowing that your sins are forgiven and that you'll not die and go to hell. And so this is a blessed matter this morning about adoption. Now you say, all right, God has a plan, verse 5. What else can I learn from the Scriptures this morning? Is there something else I can learn? Well, it also says here that it's through Jesus Christ. Where do you find that? Well, I'm going down to verse 7. Aren't you going to look at the rest? Yes, but I want you to see that it's through Jesus Christ that we have this adoption. How's that? Well, in whom we have redemption through his blood, speaking of Christ, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. It's through Christ that we, by his death, we were seen. God has seen what we were, and he saw that we need to be changed. You know, it's amazing. I want us to go back to a very, very familiar passage in the Gospel of John, chapter 1. And we know it so much that we don't even use it. And we ought to use it from time to time because what a blessed verse it is. What verse? Verse 12, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 12. It tells about how we become God's child. Well, it says, as many as receive him. Who's the him? That's Christ. Receiving Christ. To them gave he power to become the sons of God. Hey, that's what I'm interested in. Even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but God. Listen, you want power? You want the power of God in your life to change you? You trust him completely. As you're trusting that chair you're sitting on, you don't think that thing is going to fall to put you on the floor, do you, this morning? Trust him for what he did at the cross of Jesus Christ in your behalf, taking your sins, becoming your sins, taking God's wrath away from us. He said, you believe, you do that? He said, I'll give you power. Be the sons of God. That's just beautiful. Sons of God. Now, I want us to see something. We think of children, and that's precious. They're just precious. I guess all babies are precious, even in the animal world. And we think they're so cute. Cute little girls, cute little boys. My wife and I were at a business place, and there's some Amish boys, cute little guys. Hey, I want to tell you something. We're not adopted by our cuteness. If you think that, well, I've been a pretty good man, I've been a pretty good woman, I've been a pretty cute guy. No. Just get that out of your mind. We're not adopted by our cuteness. It is the sovereign grace of God that we are adopted. And it's because by nature, we are ungodly sinners. I think some of us don't really know that. By nature, we're enemies of God. You see, I just don't see how it is. God said so. And if you think you're a great person, I'm telling you, your nature is no different than my nature, and that we need to have Christ. We got to see where we are. Listen, if you don't know you're a sinner, and you say, well, I've been a religious boy, my mother taught me to be a fine fella, that's great. I'm glad mother did that. But if you haven't trusted Jesus Christ, you say, I know that. Okay. It's line upon line, precept upon precept, and hear word another word. You never know when the Spirit of God is going to lay it upon you, and you see yourself as a lost sinner and needing Jesus Christ and seeing the cross of Calvary as the answer. So it's all based upon God's sovereign grace. What is? Adoption. God's sovereign grace. That's what adoption is all based on. Nothing of you, nothing of me. Well, can you look at these other verses before we go? Yes, verse 6. What about it? Well, it's all for God's glory. What is? This business of adoption. You experience the blessedness of it, but it's actually, the bottom line is for God's glory, not for you. And you're going to be the benefactor of it, or you're going to be the recipient of it, I should say. But verse 6 says, it's to the praise of the glory of his grace. God gets the glory. Wherein he hath made us acceptable in the beloved. Yes, sir. To the praise of his grace. Yes. Of the glory of his grace. That God might be praised. Praise God. Praise God. What for? That if you're part of God's family, praise him for it. Because there's a vast number of people that are not part of his family. You see, it isn't something that's, so when we die, hey, that's it. No, this matter of God's children, God's family is forever and ever. It's for eternity. And I'll tell you this. There's only that which I believe that satisfies our souls. Tell me something that will really satisfy my soul. Something that will go down deep and just really give me a blessing that just jar me right complete to the bottom. And that is this matter of adoption into God's family through Jesus Christ. It's all of God by his grace. So let's rejoice in that he has made so much of us. And I want to say that. You know, when our blessed Lord Jesus came, our Father was so glad of his work. And they were doing quite a bit of talking at the Mount of Transfiguration. And it's, let's do this, let's do that. And the Lord said to him, if I may put it, maybe I shouldn't use English, I'll use German, Ruhig! And in English it means shut up. Listen, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Shut up. Don't be bragging about it yourself and who you are. But I want to tell you something. Jesus Christ, he is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And you know what? You say, I know Jesus Christ is my Savior. You do? And you say, I know something about having his robe of righteousness. I know something about his imputed righteousness. And when God looks upon me, he sees Jesus Christ's robe of righteousness. I want to tell you something. God can actually say that about every one of us. Listen, whatever you want to say about Robbins or whatever you want to say about so-and-so, I want to tell you something. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Oh, yeah, he's got faults. Yes, I know he has. But he's my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And so are you. God looks upon us and he smiles and he says, that's my boy there. That's my girl. I love them. I know they have their problems. I know that Matthew 6 And it's just a beautiful passage for us to consider, Matthew 6. We pray, you know, the Lord's Prayer and so forth. But look at Matthew 6 and start at verse 25. How wonderful. What do you mean? This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Well, verse 25 of Matthew 6. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life. What? What you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, that is food, and the body than just clothing, raiment? Behold the fowls of the air. And us rural people, we ought to look at the birds more. Behold the fowls of the air. For they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit into his stature? Huh? Can you? And why take ye thoughts for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. I'm speaking about us who are children of God now, friends. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? And verse 32, you ought to get this. I'll tell you the way of the lost people. Verse 32. What? For after these things do the Gentiles seek, the lost sinners. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. So, but seek ye first the kingdom of God in his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Last verse. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow. For the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient on the day is the evil thereof. You know, we ought to camp there more. That's a terrific passage. Just marvelous. You say, well, I know it. He's saying to us, don't. What, Father? Don't. Don't what? Don't worry. Well, I got a mortgage. I got payments to make. Don't worry. Now, the birds get up in the morning. Sure, they sing, but they go gather food. They have to get out of bed and get going, don't they? Sure they do. Consider the fowl of the air. You don't know everything yet. Look at them. I just think it's amazing when I go up to Williamsport and walk out of a building and I hear the crows. They're out there working. Yeah, they are, gathering up, and they're happy about it. In the city. They belong in the country. No, they're in the city. It's a delight to hear them. So he's saying to us, don't worry. Oh, God. He said, I am your Father. I am God. You are my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased because you're in Christ. You're in Christ. You have his imputed righteousness. Now, what are you fretting about? Oh, speak to me, Lord. Well, then listen to me. As he said to them in the Mount of Transfiguration, be quiet. Yes, all these things. Is it so? Well, there'd be a multitude of people that say, if you don't believe that, then you're a Gentile. Well, we're all Gentiles, Lord. No. Gentiles is the word here for being lost. You're a lost sinner. If you're a fuss, you worry and fret and full of anxiety and just all the time at it, you're lost. Ralph, you don't know anything about blessed adoption. Or you're not trusting Jesus Christ fully. That's why we need to know more about the Word of God. So, we have a new status. We were nobodies. I'm a nobody. Were you a nobody? Oh, no. Sorry. I don't even know if you're going to make it to heaven if you're somebody. But in the spiritually speaking, we're originally blasphemers. That's what the Bible says about us. Enemies of God. But he has given us a new dignity. We're children of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Marvelous. And he cares for us. Does Jesus care? Oh, yes, he cares. Oh, that's wonderful. It's wonderful to be in a family that the Father cares for us. I feel so badly for children. Well, so do I. Well, what is it you feel so badly? That fathers are not taking care of their children. I feel badly about that. I almost cry about it. In fact, I do in my heart. How can they do such a thing? Our Father in heaven cares for us. Well, then, how can you go around worrying all the time? Thinking your Father is not there to help you. Pray to him. Pray. We pray, our Father which art in heaven. Okay, so that's what I want. I want you to pray to me. Come on. Pray, he says. I answer prayer. Abba, Father. That's marvelous. Abba, Father. And I'm not being silly. It means Dada. It does. You can talk all about your intelligence and say, well, give me another word for it. Abba. But what does it really mean, Dada? You mean you can talk to God about everything? Everything. I'm out here working yesterday, having a frustrating time. Frustrated time? Woo-hoo! You have them? Yeah, I do. Do you? I'm talking to my father about it, and sure enough, things begin to open up and fix up. Does he care about little things? Huh? Oh, he only cares about big things. Like there's a fire. They said, 911, we got a fire. That's when you call God, when you got a fire. No, he wants us every day, daily, thanking him for the food. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. How wonderful we have a Father like he is. And he also is a Father who disciplines. Yeah. Discipline. Do you need to be disciplined? Well, you can answer that yourself. You know how you act. You know how you act about things. You want to do your own thing? You don't want to pay attention to the Word of God? It's a manifestation of his love when he disciplines us. Nobody loves discipline. But to have, if we walk disobediently, we expect to be disciplined. We want joy and peace in the Holy Spirit of God, then we need to be obedient. Hey, I don't want a whack. Do you want some wax? I don't want any wax. Well, he's not going to whack us if we're walking in obedience, but it's pretty easy to get out of line. It's by our nature that we still have. I don't like that old nature. But we can pray and get victory. And so what I'm saying to you, the privilege of praying, there's the blessing of answered prayer. Beloved, we're seeing it around here. And it's just glorious when God answers prayer. And I just want us to encourage us. If we're part of God's family, it's a blessed adoption. So once we were lost and dead in trespasses and sins, but we are loved, yes, through Jesus Christ. He lifted us out of the sphere of hell and death and damnation and evil and made us who were ugly sinners. And now we've become children of God through faith in Christ. And we have a home. And we have a family. It's nice to have a home and a family and to have a wonderful relationship. A wonderful relationship. You know, I believe the early church really did give holy kisses. Yeah. But some of us that probably don't even know what we're talking about. That's it. Well, the Bible doesn't say a holy handshake. Well, I don't know. I was shocked. I was at a conference speaking, and there were some folk up from New York, Watertown, New York, and they called themselves German Baptist. And they were different, but they loved the Lord. And so after the conference was over, those guys came up to me and gave me a kiss. Where? Right on my lips. I thought, wow, those German Baptists, I don't know about those guys. That was kind of shake. But I see conventionally it's on the cheek, a peck. Some of us don't even know what we're talking about. But to have a loving relationship, not romantic. I said loving. There's a difference. An affection towards one another as brethren. It's nice to be in a family that loves one another and have a father who takes care of us and also giving us blessed mothers. Well, I'm going to leave it there. I want to talk more about the blessedness of adoption later. Now, there are a couple of hymns. And since I have a few more minutes, I want us to turn to some of these hymns. This hymn I want us to sing is, 720? Now, Brother Bob, I want to use that tune for the next last one, perhaps. You got that? Four stanzas. 720. And I want us to look at it before we go singing on it. Why? Because I selected in light of what was said in the Word of God. That's why. Well, do you have to go over it ahead of time? It doesn't hurt. Now, we change the words in this hymn. Do you know that? We say that we are a child of the King. Now, you say you're majoring on a minor. No. We're just a child of the King, not a king. So you sing it that way? Yes. I'm a child of the King. And not being funny about it, that's the way we believe it should be sung. And that's the way it... But you know, it talks about our Father. First stanza. Well, I want to sing about the Father. All right? What about him? He's rich. He's rich in houses and lands. And he holdeth the wealth in the poor, or of the world in his hands. Of rubies and diamonds, of silver and gold, his coffers are full. He has riches untold. I'm a child of the King. A child of the King. With Jesus, my Savior, I'm a child of the King. Stanza 2. My Father's own Son, the Savior of men, once wandered over earth as the poorest of them. But now he is reigning forever and high. And will give me a home in heaven by and by. I once was an outcast stranger on earth, a sinner by choice, and an alien by birth, but I've been adopted. You've been what? I've been adopted. My name's written down. I'm an heir to the mansion, a robe and a crown. I want to get into that later. A tent or a cottage, why should I care? They're building the palace for me over there. Though exiled from home, I'm not home yet. Yet still I may sing, all glory to God, I'm a child of the King. Now let's sing it, shall we, please? If you'll notice the scripture verse at the top of the page, it's talking about inheritance. We are the children of God, yes. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God. Joint heirs with Christ. And while we're singing about this, keep it in mind, please. My Father... I'm a child of God. by a cappella. Now let's sing this hymn 293 to this tune. Bob will play that tune, four stanzas, Robert. 293. Stands again, please.
Let children hear the mighty deeds which God performed of old, which in our younger years we saw, and which our fathers told. He bids us take His glory from His works so power and grace.
Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. My Father, we have given our ears to hearing the word this morning about the matter of the great matter of spiritual adoption, the blessedness of it, and how you look upon us. Thank you, Father, for this. We're grateful for the fact that we have a God like you. And our beloved Lord Jesus Christ and what he did for us at Calvary and for the Holy Spirit of God who initiates and teaches us and helps us and guides us. And so as you have given us the privilege also of having affection for one another, and we have also our priestly particular job to do also, and that is to pray for one another and bear one another's burdens and help us, Lord, to be more like our Lord Jesus. We do ask this morning again your care upon those who are in need. And then we ask for the fact that there are those who need to hear these great truths. Our Father, make us wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And now the Lord bless thee and keep thee. And the Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace through Christ. Amen. Please be seated.
Yes.
Now, benediction has been given, and if you have some input, beloved, and here's an opportunity to do it and also perhaps ask some questions. And I have given us a little more time this morning. We have a few minutes. Go ahead. Have you anything you'd like to offer?
This is a FAITH acronym and a TULIP acronym.
Yes.
They completely coincide.
Yes. Well, yes, yes, yes. It's just that I love TULIP. In fact, I'm going to be advertising TULIP. I love TULIP flowers, too. And I guess that's one of the reasons why I love TULIPs, too. But I saw someplace they called themselves a TULIP Baptist. Yeah. They said they were TULIP Baptist Church. I'm like, yeah, that's good. I like that. But most people don't know what it's all about. And I do think these are areas that we need to be thinking about again and again, so precious things, precious principles. And I don't think that you can get too much of it. I really, there's so much of these principles, and I think sometimes we get in a hurry, one sermon and we go on. But I don't plan to do that with the disciples.
You get right down to it. They're foundational.
Amen. It's very foundational. And foundational work takes work, brother, doesn't it? And so I found it a little hard to study this morning. I found it a little hard, but it's been a busy week for me, like it's been for you. But
foundations, as far as Scripture is concerned, is difficult to maintain, too.
Yeah.
I find a lot of times that's where I get to class today.
Yeah.
And the word glory in there is kind of interesting. Now, I don't know any Greek, but my Bible has a Greek dictionary in it.
Yes, yes.
And it's doxa.
Yes.
And that's one of the definitions of it is dignity. And I like that because, at least in my way of thinking,